In verse number 12, Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 12, Bible says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of great eagles, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." What a story. What a story. We're in the middle part of the tribulation with what is known as the Great Tribulation. Getting ready to start. We looked last time about the war in heaven and Satan being cast out. The proclamation of salvation in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. We're reminded that the saints of all ages have overcome the wicked one through the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives unto the death. And we see a woe is given here in verse number 12. And I want to preach tonight on this thought. The beginning of Satan's last stand. The beginning of Satan's last stand. Let's pray together. Father, please have your way. I need you to help me tonight to say what needs to be said. Lord, may we learn from Thee concerning these times that we read of in Your Word. And Lord, may we grow in knowledge so that we can help others. We can reach others with the gospel of Christ, and we have a burden for souls, and we can make a difference in this world that we live in, the people that we're around. Lord, may we have a burden for their soul. Lord, may we realize that if we don't reach them, they may have to face some of these terrible things. And God, I pray that You'd help us to understand our responsibility, my responsibility, to be a faithful witness for Thee. Help us all to go forward. I pray, Lord, for the power of the Spirit of God tonight to be real in this place. And upon me, as I stand to preach, may I have that unction which only You can give. And we'll thank You and praise You for all that's done, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We see in verse number 12, this woe is given concerning the wrath of the devil. His time is short. So he's going to bring all he has into this world. I'm telling you, he's going to wreak havoc. It's going to be quite some time. I believe he understands words of prophecy. He understands what Daniel and Ezekiel has to say, and Hosea and Zechariah. I believe he has an understanding that the things that are transpiring means that he has just 3.5 years left. In 3.5 years, he's going to do as much damage as he possibly can. It's going to be a terrible time on earth. Thank God, if you're saved, you're going to be in heaven tonight. It's good to be saved. But he's going to give all that he has to make life miserable and to make living in this world and on this earth miserable. And so tonight, as we look at the beginning of Satan's last stand, I want you to see, first of all, the persecution. The persecution. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 13. The Bible says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." So the Bible teaches us here that Satan realizes he's been cast out of heaven to the earth. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he didn't realize it when it's taking place, but it says when he saw that he was cast into the earth, in other words, like he just came to himself. It probably addled him, you know, and he realizes he's been cast to the earth. And he turns his full attention, the Bible says, to the persecution of Israel. Of course, we know that the woman here is Israel. It's explained to us in verse number 1. He turns to her and he tries to destroy. He tried to destroy her man-child, but he failed. So now he wants to destroy her. The devil doesn't like Israel. He's going to be at his worst. And if you want to talk about the worst scenario of anti-Semitism, you're going to see it during this time. The world's never seen anything quite like what they're going to see during this time. We've talked about the Semitics of today, and we talked about the persecution. And by the way, all of that is just a forerunner of this time. Satan has tried to destroy Israel and tried to destroy the Jewish race since the beginning. He hates them, and he hates everything about them. And so here we see that in this last stand, in this last time, he's gonna pull out all the stops, and he's going to come at her. He hates Israel for many reasons, but I'm going to give you just a few of them tonight. First of all, Israel represents the worship of God, and he hates anything that worships God. Israel's a representation of that. If you read the Old Testament, you're going to find that out. Another reason that he hates Israel, the second reason tonight, is because through her came the Scriptures. That precious book you hold in your hand that teaches you that you're a sinner and that you must be saved and how to be saved. He doesn't like you to have that in your hand. He doesn't like the truth that it reveals about him and who he is and what he's done. He hates Israel tonight. He hates Israel because it represents worship. He hates Israel because through her came the Scriptures. But thirdly, and I believe most of all, he hates Israel tonight because through her came the Savior, came the Lord Jesus Christ. He has despised her. He tried to stop Christ from ever coming into this world. He tried to destroy the Jewish race. He had people that held her captive, and he had people that made her slaves. He had people that did all kinds of things trying to destroy the race. But it did not matter what he did. It seemed like God always provided a way. And then about 2,000 years ago, through the seed of a woman, a Jewish girl, a Savior was born, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's hated her even more since that time, since Christ came into the world. And it appears that this is the beginning of what we call the Great Tribulation. It's the middle part of tribulation. 3.5 years have come, and 3.5 years are ahead. Because the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us some things about this. The Bible teaches us, the Lord Jesus uses the words Great Tribulation. You can look at it in the Bible in Matthew chapter number 24, verse 15 through 22. We're not going to turn there tonight, but the Lord Jesus teaches us about this time of Great Tribulation. So we see the persecution that's given to us. Secondly, tonight, as we look at the beginning of Satan's last stand, I want you to see the protection. The protection. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. With all the persecution from Satan and all of his workers and all the people he has here that he'll have here upon the face of the earth at that time, pure annihilation of Israel seems inevitable. When you think about the few that there are of them and the many that there'll be, many workers in the many nations that will rise up against Israel. You begin to think, there's no hope, there's no chance. And as bad as it looks, we have to realize there's still a God in heaven that chose this people and promised that He would restore them once again. Tonight, as we think about the great persecution and all that the devil has, I want you to see this protection. I want you to see, first of all, the divine intervention. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. To the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished. And just as he's done before, he does it again. Two wings of a great eagle, the Bible says. It's just a figure to remind us of who God is. We've seen this figure of speech before. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter number 19, and verse number 4, I love this. The Lord is speaking to Moses. The Bible says, and Moses went up to God in verse number 3, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Oh, what a Father we have in heaven, and what a Savior, and what a God. He reminds the children of Israel that they were once bound in the chains of Egyptian bondage. But the Lord says, I bore you on eagle's wings and I brought you unto myself. It's not the only time we see something like this. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, if you'll turn there with me, chapter number 32 and verse number 9. The Bible says, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found in him a desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. Verse 10 says, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. The Bible says further in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40, and verse number 31, the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. The Bible teaches us in the book of the Revelation that when the persecution comes, that to the woman were given two wings of great eagles, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place. And there she's going to be taken care of. God is reminding her that he chose this people. He's reminding her of what he's done for him in days gone by. He's reminding how that he bore her on eagle's wings and brought her unto himself. He's reminding how that their father Jacob, who was later known as Israel, how that the Lord said that he found in Jacob a faithful servant. And as an eagle stirreth up her nest, so the Lord is going to take care of his people. And then he reminds them, as Isaiah writes under inspiration of the Spirit of God, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That word wait does not mean to sit and wait. When you go to a restaurant, who comes to your table? A waiter. And that's what this word wait is. It's not those that sit and twiddle their thumbs. People have misconstrued that for years. It's those that do the work of the Lord, that serve the Lord, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And during this time of tribulation, dear friends, those that are serving the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God's going to be true to his people. We see this protection. We see in this protection divine intervention and how the persecution is coming. And the Bible teaches us that God gives them two wings of a great eagle. And then they go into the wilderness. I love this. Into her place. I wonder where that place is. You know, people have tried to speculate. But the Bible doesn't tell us where that place is. Many believe it's Petra. Could it be? Well, it could be. It's over there somewhere. It's not the United States of America, I don't believe. Some people have said the two wings of a great eagle represents an airplane. You know? It's all symbolic. I can tell you this. I don't know. But I do know what the Bible says. And we find that God has a place. He already knows where that place is, by the way. It's not like this day He's going to say, well, I've got to find them somewhere. You know? He already knows. They're going to flee into the wilderness, into her place. Into her place. He has a place for them. So, there's a lot of speculation where it is, but Israel's going to flee Jerusalem. We know that, into this wilderness where God has her a place. And in this place, the Bible says God's going to provide for her. I think of Elijah there at the brook and how that God took care of him. God's going to take care. I don't know. The ravens may come and feed Israel. How many is going to be there? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But He's going to take care of her. We see the divine intervention. I want you to see, secondly, the duration of this protection. The Bible says she's going to be nourished for a time, a times, and a half a time from the face of the serpent. Now we understand as we read the Bible that these phrases have been given to us before. But a time represents a year, a unit, a year. And times represents 2 years. And a half of time, half year. So 1 + 2 + ½ is 3½. For 3½ years, they're going to be under this protection of God in this place in the wilderness. God's going to take care of them. God's going to provide for them. You think if the children of Israel could wander 40 years in the wilderness and their shoes not go bad, that God can't take care of them for 3½ years? God's going to take care, and this is the duration of the time, the last half of the tribulation. God's going to take care of them. 42 months, God's going to nourish and take care of these that's in her place in the wilderness. I want you to see in this protection also not only the divine intervention and the duration, I want you to see the deliverance. The Bible says in the serpent, verse number 15, cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. I can imagine as the people are fleeing, the serpent, Satan, is angry. And he says, I'm going to get them. They're not going to win this time. They're not going to win this time. Can't you imagine? He's sulking and soaking in his sorrow as he's cast out of heaven and brought into this world and cast upon the earth. And as he comes, he declares war. He turns, and the Bible teaches us that he persecutes this woman, and the woman is given wings to flee, to fly away. And he says, I'm going to get to her somehow, and I'm going to get to all these people. And the Bible says he casts water out of his mouth like a great flood. I don't know exactly where all this is going to happen. I don't know how it's going to take place. I don't understand with the terrain of the Holy Land how these things could transpire, but I believe the Word of God. And the Bible says that he's going to cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he can cause her to be carried away of the flood. But the Bible teaches us that the earth opens up her mouth and swallows the water. I want you to remember tonight, God's always in control. The God that created the heaven and the earth is the God that's going to instruct the earth to open up your mouth. These are my people. And Satan cannot have them. We see the deliverance of God. Then finally tonight, I want you to see the people of God. The Bible says in verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Not everyone will flee to the wilderness. We must understand this. When Satan comes after the woman, all Israel's not going to flee, and all Christians are not going to flee. All those that have put their faith in the Lord during this time is not going to flee. The Bible teaches us this. The Bible helps us to understand this. The Bible says in the book of Zechariah, chapter number 13, verse number 8 and 9, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, Two parts thereof shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. They shall say, the Lord is my God. You know, the Bible teaches us all throughout there's going to be a day when Israel finally proclaims he is who he says he is. He is the Messiah that has come. He is the Messiah. And boy, there's wonderful things in the Bible that teaches us in the Old Testament. I love the story where we're dealing with Israel and the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to the earth and they see him and they say, what are those scars in your hands? What are those scars in your feet? What is this? Oh yes, you are the Savior. You are the Lord. Here we find that the people of God that are here in this world, not everybody is going to be fleeing to the wilderness into a place. A third's going to be brought through, but the Bible teaches us two-thirds are going to be cut off and die. These that flee will be protected. No doubt, because this is what God has chosen. This is how God has said. But Satan is going to be very angry, and he's going to turn his attention, the Bible says, to the remnant of her seed. He's going to make war. I'm telling you, he is hot, and he is angry. He is going to make war, the Bible says, with the remnant of her seed. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 shows us that saints will die during this time. Those, the Bible teaches us, those that he comes after are those which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I love that. We see law, those which keep his commandments. We see grace, which have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Law and grace always works together. Law helps us to recognize our need. Grace is our needs fulfilled through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? The remnant is viewed in a lot of different ways by a lot of different commentators. I'm not exactly sure who all it represents, but I am sure of this. We know that they are witnesses for the Lord during this time. We know that these are people that stand up for the cause of Christ. Could it be just Jew because it's the remnant of her seed, or could it be Jew and Gentile because the remnant of being those that have put their faith in her seed? I don't know. But I know that they keep the commandments of God, and I know that they have a testimony of Jesus Christ. So I know that these are people that are believers, that are saved, that are going to spend their eternity in heaven because of what the Bible says. And dear friends, they are going to be declared war upon by the devil. If it's Jew and Gentile, I want you to understand that could be people that we know. It could be Jew that we know. If the Lord Jesus were to return tonight, just think. You know the one that you've given up on? You know the one you said there's no hope for? You know the one you said, I'm through with them, I'll not witness to them anymore? If they don't trust the Lord now, it's going to be too late, and they're not even going to be able to be a tribulation saint. It's better to be a tribulation saint than not a saint at all. Amen? But I'm convinced that those that know that have heard the clear gospel presentation won't get that chance again. I'm convinced. I believe the Bible speaks of this. But there's people we need to understand that we must witness to. And we must tell. I don't want to be standing at the great white throne judgment and have an accusing finger pointed at me, asking me why I did not tell them the truth about who Jesus is and about their sin and that their sin separates them from God. I don't want that, do you? But it's sad to say tonight, I know I'm going to meet some people there. There are people that I worked with at Eastman Chemical Company that died. Two people that I worked with that took their lives. Over the course of the years that I worked there, two
took their lives. And I spoke to them about the Lord. But I didn't get to them about sin. And it's easy to tell somebody, well, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, it'd be great to have you come to church. But it's tough to go up to somebody and say, look, we're all sinners. And the Bible teaches us this sin separates us from God. But I would to God that I'd had the courage to have spoken to them and not have that on my record. Because I know Jesus. And I know He forgives sins. And I know He cleanses us. And I know He gives us eternal life. And dear friends, I'll meet those folks one day. But we're not even talking about them. I'm talking about people now. Knowingly, Jews, Israel, possibly Gentile, that's going to go through some very traumatic things. You say, what does this have to do with us? Well, first of all, for your knowledge, you need to know this. But I want to bring it to our final thought. I want you to come to this point. As we think about the future, let's not forget about now. This day. When you're studying the book of Revelation, you say, well, that's over there. That's not right now. That doesn't concern me. I'm saved and I'll be in heaven already. Let's not forget this day we're living in. The Bible says that in the time of tribulation, these saints are going to be those which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So if we see this of these tribulation saints, I want to remind you of a couple of things. I want to remind you, first of all, that Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I want to remind you what the Bible says in the book of 1 John, as John's writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that's begotten of him. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible says at the end of verse 3, and His commandments are not grievous. There should be no grief in keeping the commandments of the Lord. It should be the pleasure of our life to honor Him and to keep His commandments. In this day, we have to understand that we need to keep His commandments, and we also must have the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's much simpler for us to keep His commandments and to have a testimony than it will be for the tribulation saints. May the Lord help us. May God help us to serve Him. May we be true to the living God. What do you think? Think God will give us a free pass on what we've done with Him? Well, we got free salvation. But when we stand before the Lord on what we call the judgment day, you think God will give us a free pass for what we've done with Him since we've been saved? Sins, we got a free pass. They were judged at Calvary. But our works for the Lord will come before us. And as we study the future, let's not get so caught up in it that we forget the now. We've seen the beginning of Satan's last stand. But what about the end of our lives? How are we going to finish? How are we going to finish? We need to finish strong for the Lord, don't we? Amen. And be true to Him. Let's bow. Father, we thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace, Your compassion. Oh, Lord, how I know You.